Phototex because it won't leave a sticky residue. It doesn't peel, rip, wrinkle, and it's available in any size. Our in-house design service can create most anything you'd like, from wall graphics to computer skins. Phototex is perfect for company and team logos, floor graphics, wall murals, product advertising, and even kids' rooms. We can produce any picture, sign, or poster, and best of all, Phototex is completely removable, green, and very affordable.
Call Always On Time Signs and Designs at 223-8948 or 1-800-547-0808 to find out more about Phototex. Located at 115 Industrial Lane in Berlin. Always On Time Signs and Designs.
All right, we're back broadcasting live this morning at the State House in Montpelier, as we do on Fridays during the legislative session. Thank you for your calls. I appreciate that. You can always reach us at 244-1777. That's our local number. Toll-free 877-291-8255. Coming up Monday on the program, we're going to chat with a nice young fellow who did some Peace Corps work in Senegal. So we'll find out all about that fascinating country coming up on the program on Monday. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Senator Richard Sears of Bennington County joining us here. He's the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, also a member of the Appropriations Committee. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Pleasure to be here.
What'd you think of the speech yesterday? What'd you think in particular? Let me lay out two of the proposals here. The payroll tax and, well, actually included in that, the shift to Medicaid funding. So talk to me about that one
first.
Well,
there's no question that the Medicaid cost shift is part of the reason that our health insurance premiums, when we use MVP or Blue Cross or whatever, are so high. And you can see it sharply. There's only a certain number of Medicaid patients that a doctor can afford to take. They've got expenses like anybody else, and if we continue to shortchange them, it exasperates the healthcare system. So certainly trying to eliminate or trying to reduce that cost shift and thereby reducing premiums, if the premiums are actually reduced, is an understandable move. I mean, I don't know where the legislature will end up on it as we work on it, but it's certainly he has laid out a framework of trying to reduce premiums by, and you do increase a payroll tax, but if you are a company that's providing insurance to your employees, you should see a similar reduction in your premiums. It is those that aren't providing insurance that will get the whammy of the payroll tax.
If I were a business owner, I'd worry that you start with a 0.7% and then you'll find a way to increase it every year.
No question that that's a concern. I think again, we will be looking at that. I think those are the types of issues that the legislature. I thought one of the things the governor said yesterday struck me, and that was, it's fine. If you have better ideas, I'll listen to them. But give me your ideas. Don't just fight what I'm proposing. What's your better idea? And I think that's a challenge to the legislature. If you don't like the 0.7% payroll tax, give me a better idea. But we have to reduce the cost shift. And I think that was partly what he was saying in the budget portions of his address as well. You know, that's fine. If you don't think we should do this, do something different. But don't ignore it. Don't just tell me I'm wrong. Tell me what you would do different. And I think that, I mean, obviously, that's a challenge to the legislature.
Right.
And I think that was very appropriate.
Do you hear from constituents, from businesses, after a speech like that yesterday?
Yeah, I begin to hear from them, but they focus mostly on what the media focused on. So, for example, if the headline is 0.7% payroll tax and they don't read fully the story and the goal is to reduce healthcare premiums, they only focus on the payroll tax. And then we, in my conversation with them or my email back to them, contains a little more information.
Mm-hmm. Property taxes. Did you feel the governor adequately addressed the issue yesterday?
Well, I think he set out some broad goals, but I don't think he came up with a complete way again. I think that there are those who want to change the financing system. He talked about how to reduce the spending problem, and he outlined on the spending side, I think there's a number of us in the legislature who are also concerned about the financing side as well, and how fair it is or how unfair it is depending upon where you're living. And I have a little town of Reedsboro in Bennington County that's one of the lowest spenders in terms of per pupil cost, but they get penalized because their neighbors are spending, well, it may not be their direct neighbor, but somebody else is spending more. So their tax rate goes up, even though they're doing their best to keep their school budget down.
Mm-hmm. So do you think the legislature is going to change the funding formula?
The good thing about being in the Senate is that to go first on the funding formula and on tax policy.
Wow.
And
that's okay.
One of the benefits of being in the Senate, and we'll see. But I think the way the Education Committee has been structured in the House and the way the Ways and Means Committee has been structured in the House, I think there will be a serious attempt to try to make some proposals on the funding side as well as the spending side.
Well, it sounds like when I used to blame stuff on my older brother.
Yeah, I know.
244-1777 is our local number. Toll free 877-291-8255. Let me have you put these on, and I'll take that. And we're going to head down to Corinth. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Mark, you're talking about Medicaid. Forget the big picture. The ambulance services are fighting to stay alive in the state. The ambulance gets paid 40% of 80% of Medicaid costs, and it's very hard to do a call and justify the expenses. I mean, our expenses go up every day for the ambulance service. We only get 40-something percent, 42, 45% of 80% of the costs. I didn't know if they had anything to address that or what. And the other one was I wanted to know when they're going to fix this this healthcare system, Vermont Health Connect. That's a joke. I've been calling them every day this week, and I haven't gotten an answer yet, and they're going to be calling me back. But I'll listen for your answers. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Well, there's no simple answer. The Medicaid shift is hurting everyone, all providers who are trying to provide services. And so that shift means, for example, I don't have dental insurance. So my bill to the doctor is a lot higher than those who have Medicaid, or because they can't afford to do business with, and they can only handle a few Medicaid patients. Same thing's true of your ambulance service. And that's what the 0.7% payroll tax is designed to begin to address. And I want to caution to say begin. But it's a start in recognizing that the Medicaid reimbursement rate needs to be improved. Now, that's a state and federal program. On the issue of Vermont Health Connect, I couldn't agree more with the caller. It is an embarrassment, quite frankly, that we and many other states, we're not alone in this, unfortunately, haven't been able to get the IT systems and things done properly. I urge you, Joe, it was Joe, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Joe, I would urge you to call your local representative or your senator. But if you give them a call, they may be able to help you get through the morass of the bureaucracy of this thing.
We're talking with Senator Dick Sears. You can join us at 244-1777, toll-free 877-291-8255. Switch topics here, guns. The Senate Majority Leader and also the Senate President Pro Tem were talking about a piece of gun legislation that would require, I guess I'm not clear on it, but it sounds like it would be pretty extensive background checks.
Yeah, it actually involves, I have not seen the bill yet. I think it might be introduced today or next week. But as I understand the bill, it would involve participation in a national background check on those who have been court determined to be incompetent, mentally incompetent, and that group. And secondly, would be parallel law to the federal law on the possession of firearms for felons and violent misdemeanors, which is basically domestic violence. The third piece of it, which I mean, all of it is controversial, of course, but the third piece, which I think is most controversial, would be the so-called background check gun show loophole. Whether there is a loophole or not is something that, you know, we're going to have to determine. I haven't yet been convinced that we have a loophole, but I have been concerned that what their real goal is to get at the private sale. So in other words, Mark, if I were to say I'm going to give you my pistol, they want me to go to a gun shop to give you your pistol, pay a fee, and go through the background check. And that's one of the places that I think you're going to, they haven't talked about that, mm-hmm. but that's one of the places that I think is going to be most controversial in their proposal. My plan is, my number one priority this year in the Senate Judiciary Committee is the child protection work. We spent 10 months working and developing this bill on child protection. That's priority number one. I will be holding public hearings on the legislation once it's introduced. Hopefully those public hearings will take place in early February. Probably be using the well of the House. I imagine there'll be a lot of interest. I'm not promising anything one way or the other. We have the exact same committee that we had last year, a very thorough committee, well-rounded. We have Senator Benning, Senator Nitka, Senator Ash, and Senator White, and myself on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I've talked to the Speaker. You kind of kidded me about my comment on property taxes. His comment is basically the same. We'll see what the Senate does on this bill.
Okay. All right. So you're expecting to have public hearings on this in early February.
Yeah.
Is there a problem that needs to be fixed?
I'm talking personally now, Mark. Not, you know, obviously the three people who are introducing the bill believe there is. I don't believe there is. In terms of the background checks.
Back on schools, you have a somewhat large community in your
yep,
district,
Bennington.
And you have much smaller ones,
yep.
too. So what do you think this discussion about ultimately having smaller schools, if they don't reach certain goals, they could even be closed? What do you think of that?
Well, I have a hard time with that because I have Woodford in my district, which is one of the best schools. It's almost a one-room schoolhouse for all intent and purposes, and yet their students are well-rounded that come out of that school. It's very small, and their costs are extremely low. They do a terrific job. So why should I eliminate? Why should I say to Woodford, "You're eliminated"? You all go to Bennington, which may not be doing as much for those kids. So I also have a number of independent schools in my district, such as Burr and Burton Academy, which is in effect the high school for Manchester, Dorset, and much of the northern part of my district.
Right.
And that's an exceptional educational opportunity there. So, I mean, I think one size does not fit all. And in Bennington County, the folks that I represent, I also represent Wilmington, which has a Twin Field school district, which is Whitingham and Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have in Rupert and Paulett a separate school district that combined. Rupert was under the gun because of the health and safety standards of their small school. So they made a choice. They combined with Paulett to create the Meadowee Valley School for elementary students. It has worked tremendously well. There was a little disagreement about how far it was from this area or that area, and some parents were upset. But by and large, it's worked very well. And this was done by the locals, making that decision. And I think putting that money into the capital bill to encourage consolidation is a better way than saying to Woodford, okay, you now mm-hmm. consolidate with Bennington.
Mm-hmm. What is the bill you're proposing on child protection going to do to help save the lives of future kids?
The most important thing it does, Mark, in my view, is it changes the standard from reunification of the family to the best interest of the child. And I want to see that standard throughout. If reunification is the best interest, great. But if it should be with grandma, should be in a foster situation, should be in an adoptive situation, that's what's got to be determined. And priority number one is the best interest of that child.
Let's go to Shelburne. George, good morning.
Hi, how are you? Mrs. Sears, I'm finally glad to talk to you since I haven't returned my calls for almost a year now. Basically, I'm very disappointed in this S-9 bill that I've read here. This doesn't even touch on private contractors here. It doesn't touch on the fact that, a lot of kids like my stepdaughter that were heroin addicts and prostitutes became that in DCF care, starting in, group homes, in which, they in turn would turn around and do the same thing to other kids. In fact, a lot of what I'm seeing in S-9 here is basically the reworking of a lot of existing laws that already exist there, in just another wording to how to address that problem.
Okay, let me have him comment. Thank you, George. I appreciate your call.
Well, George, I'm sorry you don't see things the way I do in this particular case. I think that there are group homes that do a tremendous job. There are group homes that have failures. I ran a group home, and if you want to judge me on some of my failures, that's fine. I've got kids who are out there, they're not kids anymore, they're in their 30s and 40s, who are running very successful lives. But some kids in group homes don't do well. Some kids in foster care don't do well. And it's a whole system that needs to make changes. And getting kids to change is a lot easier in the early ages. And if we protect toddlers, maybe they won't end up as prostitutes and drug addicts. We need to change, in my view, our focus. And that's what S9 is designed to do. And I'm sorry you disagree with it. But as we go through the hearing process and as we go through the work of that bill, I hopefully it will change lives. But the focus has to be the protection of these toddlers so that they don't end up being drug addicts, prostitutes, and what have you. I had many kids in my program over the years who, quite frankly, were too far gone by the time they were 14 or 15 years old.
Wow.
To really rehabilitate. And if I go to a correctional center today, I will see them.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it very much. Senator Richard Sears, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, also on the Appropriations Committee as well. We'll take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at the State House today. Back after this.
Hi, folks. Todd Mobley here from Formula Ford in Montpelier. Our team at Formula Ford want to help you celebrate the new year and keep you warm with some hot deals. The 2015 redesigned Ford Focus has finally arrived. One of the best-selling cars of all time just keeps getting better. Stop in to see the new design or take advantage of remaining 2014 Focuses in stock with giant New Year's savings. You could take advantage of 0% financing up to a full 72 months to qualified buyers, or choose to take up to $4,000 off any new 2014 Focus in stock when you finance with Ford. And if leasing is more to your liking, how about leasing a brand new Ford Focus for under $239 a month to qualified buyers with absolutely no